Father, we are often caught without words when we start thinking about who you really are. We just heard this little glimpse of story and history, how the eternal world is praising you, worshiping you, honoring you. And as we gathered here today, it seems like so truly otherworldly. It has nothing to do with our day-to-day life, with the stresses that we face, that we may have faced even this week. But still, there is this reality of you being present. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world, became flesh, lived among us, died, and rose again. Father, I pray that as we gather here today or online, that we just have a sense of your presence, have a sense of you meeting us where we are at this very moment. Thank you that our hearts are open to you, our minds are open to you. We don't have to explain anything. We don't have to make big words. We just are here in your presence. And we pray to you and ask you, please speak. Let your word come alive. This we pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Leanne and Michelle, for leading in worship. You may have heard the story. It's an old story, an old joke, where a little girl comes home totally excited to her mom and says, "Mommy, Mommy, I know the name of God." "Oh," and she said, "that's interesting. What would that be?" "Well, his name is Andy." She said, "Wow, Andy, how did you get that one?" "Well, I heard that song in church today. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy." "Well, every time I hear that song, as an old timer, we all know, I have to think about that story." And today, we just talk about this, walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus on the road with Jesus. A book titled by Brian McLaren reads, "We Make the Road by Walking." It's an interesting book title, "We Make the Road by Walking." And he writes in his introduction the following: "You are not finished yet. You are in the making. You have the capacity to learn, mature, think, change, and grow. You also have the freedom to stagnate, to regress, constrict, and lose your way. Which road will you take?" And then a little later he writes, "I believe that all of us play a role in choosing and creating our futures, as individuals as well as communities. We don't need to wait passively for history to happen to us. We can become protagonists in our own story. We can make the road by walking." That's an interesting thought. We can make the road by walking. No one actually has been here today where we are right now. We just arrived at this very moment. No one has here before. And you have made a road to this place by your decisions that you have made over the course of your lifespan. It's only you who walked that road that you walked. Nobody else did it. Nobody else walked it for you. You walked that road. And you're still making a road by walking. And by walking means by decision that you make. You know, you always walk means to make decisions. Where am I going to go? And I do have a role to play in all of that in my life. Where am I walking? What road am I going on? What road am I plowing through my life? And to you today, you make the road by walking. I want to invite us to join two people who also are on the road. A couple, most likely, who are on the road walking. Let's listen to the story. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which lay about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were discussing with each other all the various things that had taken place. As they were discussing and arguing with each other, Jesus himself approached and walked with them. Their eyes, though, were prevented from recognizing him. "You obviously having a very important discussion on your walk," he said. "What's it all about?" They stood still, a picture of gloom. Then one of them, Cleopas by name, answered him, "You must be the only person around here in Jerusalem who does not know what has been going on for these last few days. What things? He asked. To do with Jesus of Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet. He acted with power and he spoke with power before God and all people. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be condemned to death and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And now, what with all this, it's the third day since it happened, but some women from our group have astonished us. They went to his tomb very early in the morning and didn't find his body. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of the folk went off with one of the folk from us went with them to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. You are so senseless, he said to them. So slow in your heart to believe all the things that the prophets said to you. Don't you see? This is what had to happen. The Messiah had to suffer and then came and then come into his glory. So he began with Moses and all the prophets and explained to them the things about himself throughout the whole Bible. They drew near the village where they were heading. Jesus gave the impression that he was going further, but they urged him strongly not to. Stay with us, they said. It's early evening, the day almost gone. And he went in to stay with them. As he was sitting at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Do you remember how our hearts were burning inside us as he talked to us on the road, as he opened up the Bible for us?" And they got up then and there and went back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 with the people with them and gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord really has raised here." They were saying, "The Lord really has been raised. He appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of the bread. What a remarkable story. It's only Luke who reports this story. So let's join in the story and see what was this walk all about. And maybe we find ourselves on that road and find that we are the ones sometimes who are walking and talking. So here they are on the road walking. Two people on the road. They were walking home from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. About a 2-hour walk, 7 miles, roughly 11 kilometers. The two most likely were a couple. And I know there are so many theories out there who they were, but some of the things don't make sense about this series because they invite them into their home, and if there's two guys, so I think it more like a couple. It was Cleopas and most likely Mary, if they are the same as in John 19:25, where both are mentioned. However, so they are on the road. They are walking home, and they have been on this road numerous times. It's familiar to them. It was part of their life to walk to Jerusalem whenever something special was going on in the temple, when a big festivity was held, and at least to the annual feasts, they made this walk. And this time they returned from one of the big ones, Passover. Passover was this annual reminder that of God freeing his people from slavery by them sacrificing a lamb. Otherwise, the firstborn would have been killed in the original story that was told about them being slaves in Egypt. And Passover stood for their hopes that this will happen again at some point of time because prophets over the centuries have pointed to the fact. Passover reminded them every single year, God has not abandoned us. He has made promises to his prophets. God will come again and free them from their oppressors one more time and once and for all. A king will sit again on David's throne. God will make Israel great again. This hope was renewed year after year for hundreds of years. However, with everything that happens over hundreds of years, the question was, and still is, did they still believe it? Did they still believe in God? Or did this annual feast become just a routine, a ritual, a thing you do every year? You go to church and you go to that fest when it's out there. For how many years have you been down certain roads in your life that were just normal? That's what you did. That's where you traveled. Many of the roads we were walking or driving have become routine. Things you do sometimes every day without much thinking. And there are sometimes simply traditions how you do certain things without much thinking. You just do them. There are many roads we are traveling, including the one that you took today as you came to church. You have traveled that numerous times, maybe every week, except for those few months where we couldn't come and gather here today, or where you're still sitting at home. And in the last year, you just got used to the fact of turning on the TV and just tuning into that channel. It has become a routine. It's what you do on Sunday morning, isn't it? We don't expect anything special anymore, except for criticizing the speaker or the program or the music. Do you still know why we're here? Do you still remember why Sunday is Sunday? That Sunday is a weekly reminder that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Is that still on the forefront of your mind when you wake up on Sunday morning and get ready to go to church? Is still Sunday still what it was meant to be? To remind you that Jesus is alive, that he is with us, that is with us today, and that he will come again? Are you still making an effort to travel down this road, this memory lane, if you will, and remind yourself of those things whenever you come to church? That it is not about what happens here so much this morning, but that Jesus rose from the dead. And that I meet with a risen Savior who promised to be there where two and three are gathered in my name, no matter what they are doing and how they are and what kind of music they're playing. When two or three of my people are gathered in my name, actually the word means toward my name, with the purpose of honoring my name, I will be right there. Is that the road that you are walking down every Sunday? You make the road by walking. Your decisions make that road. Or have we turned out, stopped walking that road, not tuning in anymore? Now, the couple here was not just walking, they were talking. It was not one of those travels when you just sit there in the car and nobody's talking. You know, those things happens, you know, when you know each other for many years, then you sit there and don't talk. You just drive. But there are moments when you also talk very intently, when there's something that has happened. And that's what the reason here and behind this story. There was a lot to talk about on that way home. Something happened this Passover that was different, unexpected. And that can happen. Sometimes your routine can be severely shaken by something that happened. And if you wouldn't have had this routine, if you wouldn't have walked on this road, if you wouldn't have gone where you normally go, you wouldn't have been part of it. But here they were. Something happened that was different, unexpected. In fact, the entire weekend was such a roller coaster of emotions. First, there was hope. The Jesus that they admired and that belonged to, he rode into Jerusalem in a procession. And people finally clued in who this Jesus was. Hopes were high. And they, Cleopas and his wife, or whoever this was, knew this all along. He is the one. We have seen him. We have journeyed with him. We traveled with him. We have seen what happened. He raised people from the dead. He spoke in a way that nobody else spoke. He did things. He was just different. He was not an ordinary person. He was ordained by God. He was anointed by him. He may even be the Messiah. And so he got a king's welcome as he came close to the capital city of Jerusalem. And according to even some reports, he did what he finally should have done long ago. He cleaned the temple. He turned over the tables and he cleaned up with all that stuff that has compiled over the years and over the centuries and finally brings back what should have been done. Hope. There's hope. But then everything went downhill from there. The religious leaders convinced the Roman authorities to take this Jesus out. One of even their closest friends that they journeyed with him, collaborated with these authorities, played them into their hands. And they made a public spectacle of Jesus. Here is your Jesus. Here is the one that you always claimed is the Messiah. And here he stood, said nothing, did nothing, did not even defend himself. He was falsely accused, brutally beaten, eventually nailed to the cross like any other criminal. And then I put him into the grave and buried him. How could that happen? Why didn't he do anything? Why didn't he say anything? And in the end, all of them bailed. That was a big mistake. They were duped. He was a con man. He wasn't the one that they thought they would be. Oh, they would have been a laughingstock of all those around in their neighborhoods and friends. But then there were some rumors. Some people said, the women of all, that the tomb is empty. And then that they met angels. And that Jesus was alive. Right. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to talk about. There was almost too much to digest. How could they be so wrong about Jesus? How could they have misinterpreted the prophecies about the Messiah? God's power was present with this Jesus. Miracles happened through him. He was the man of God's choice, and all their hopes of deliverance on this Passover dashed again. Another routine Passover. Another wasted Passover. So does God still care about his people? Oh, they had been fooled. Do you remember those walks and talks? Have you had those before? It's, by the way, sometimes a good way of processing. Walking and talking, maybe somebody else or to yourself. Just processing. Going through the things that happened, and you have to sort them out. You were agonizing over something that happened to you, or maybe something that happened to others, and you were just totally taken by surprise, and you can't figure it out. You even may have pain, and you cannot understand God. In fact, you may have even been full of anger toward him. Your hopes were dashed. You prayed and you wanted a certain thing to happen. You sacrificed and you did what you could, and things didn't work out. Relationships were broken. You were attacked unfairly. People offended you. Friends have turned away from you. The job that you longed for and prayed about was not offered to you. Maybe even your own family has turned against you. You can't make sense of all of that. And you cannot even make sense of the Bible. I mean, isn't there all the things said about promising and God, you know, just pray and God will answer your prayer and he has all the good things in mind for you, but not in my life. Have you had those walks and talks? I did. Many times. You felt that your world is just falling apart, that faith doesn't make sense, that the Jesus is fake. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. There is no hope. There's no future. Yeah, and those walks and talks can be therapeutic, but what are you wrestling with? What's going on in your mind? Where do you find yourself right now? What angers you? What frustrates you? What disappoints you? What stretches your patience? Is it COVID? Is it living in isolation? Is it your specific life situation where you are praying for something and it doesn't happen? Or you're in agony because you lost someone unforeseen? And you don't understand God. You know what? I just want to say it again. I said it many times. You are allowed to have doubts. That's okay. You are allowed to have doubts. God is big enough to listen to that. And here it is. The next phase is they're on the road engaging with strangers. While they were discussing their frustrations intently, they were approached by this stranger. And he seemed to be totally oblivious to what happened in Jerusalem. But he seemed to be interested in their story. You wanted to hear what's going on, what's in your mind, why are you discussing this thing so intently? What is it that creates your frustration, your disappointment? And so the stranger just listened to their arguments. Isn't that freeing? Jesus wants to listen to your frustrations, to your anger, disappointment. But then in this story, the stranger turned the conversation around. He now chimed in and shared some of the insights that he had, and it turned their world upside down. He explained to them that they had read the Bible through the wrong lens. They had looked for ways how God would redeem them and bring them out of the misery and bring them back to glory, instead of that God planned through suffering to redeem them. God's anointed took on Israel's suffering, died under its weight, and rose again at the beginning of God's new creation. Well, that was a new twist, that the end of the Messiah story is suffering and not redemption. Sometimes you need to let strangers into your world. People that you seem to cross your path accidentally. They seem to know nothing initially, but they're curious. They ask questions. And then as you open your eyes for, and they open the eye, your eyes for a new perspective, a new way of seeing things, a new way of sorting things out that happened in my life. Those strangers can come to you through a book that you read. It can come to you through a message that you hear. It can come to be through a conversation in which you are find yourself with someone maybe that you are not so acquainted with. It may be somebody who just crossed your path and you just open up to this person. Doesn't that happen sometimes? There are some people there and you just feel trust enough to share, I'm not doing well. And at the moment, you cannot see it. But somehow what happened there in that moment touched your heart. In fact, changed your heart. Gave you new hope, new sense of hope. They helped you to get your head out of the mud and open the window and let some fresh air into your mind. And you feel like, wow, this is good. But again, all too much to take in for the moment. And here they are at the end of the road. All journeys come to an end. So did theirs. They were home. And it was dark, well, beginning to become dark. Since it was too dangerous to travel on for the stranger, they invited him and said, hey, let's come on, you know, just stay with us. It was a good conversation. We had a good time. It seemed to be an interesting weekend, full of twists and turns, and it has come to an end. However, nothing will really change. There is Monday, and they have a meal together and maybe chat a little bit here and there about the things that have happened, and then they will go to bed, and then we'll get up, and Monday morning hits. Back to work, so they thought. But that was far from the truth. Things took another turn. They thought they were at the end of the journey. They thought they had been through it, but far from right. At the table, while they were starting to eat, the stranger took charge. Cleopas should have done that, but he took the bread, and he broke the bread. And he may have even said as he broke it, take it, eat it, this is my body. They have heard that. If that was familiar, although they were not at the original Passover meal because they didn't belong to the 12, they heard about it. They heard about these words. He preached it in John 6. We read about this is my body, you need to eat my body, you have to drink my... They heard about this and all of a sudden it dawned on them, it is Jesus. The tale of the women is true. Jesus is not in the grave. Actually, he walked with us through our despair and our hopelessness and our doubts, our darkness. He walked with us, journeyed with us, listened to us, didn't criticize us, but still turned our views around, opened our eyes. Here is the first meal of the new creation, the new world, the kingdom of God being broken into this dark world, the first meal with Jesus. God's new creation now is totally available, brimming with life, with joy, new possibilities. It burst into the world of decay and sorrow and despair and hopelessness. Jesus is alive. It was through a meal that all the woes came into the world. It is through a meal that hope comes back into this world through Jesus Christ. The whole creation subjected to decay and futility and sorrow and pain is now back taken, redeemed and taken out of this darkness and brought back to life. Jesus, as he promised, I will eat with you again. I will eat with you again. And we have fellowship in the kingdom of God. And here he did it. Before they could wrap around the whole idea what happened here, Jesus is gone. And they realized Messiah King was with us. He joined us on our routine journey. He heard our worries and fears, our disappointments, frustrations, arguments, and he opened our eyes, gave them insights, new perspective. He invited them into a new reality of his presence. This Jesus who obviously could come in and out of this world and in this presence and back into his own world. The kingdom of God is here to stay. It is like air that surrounds us. It is so close. Heaven is not out there somewhere. Heaven surrounds us. It's everywhere. And Jesus is present, fully present. Life will never be the same. And Jesus changes everything. They couldn't help but get out there, although it was dark, although it was dangerous, walk the 2 hours back to Jerusalem and tell their friends what just happened. And before they could even start to share their story, they told them that Peter saw Jesus. And they said, oh, guess what? We trumped that one. He walked with us. He was there on the road. Jesus is with us. He's alive. Life will never be the same. Jesus in the new reality of the kingdom of God and the life in the kingdom of God has broken into this world. Jesus is alive and he is with us. So which road are you making? Where is your life going? Which path are you plowing with every decision that you make? What road are you in or on right now? Is that a road that leads to death, despair? Is your pain that you are suffering hurting other people on the way? Is your current frustration frustrating others? Is your hopelessness pulling others down? Or is your judgmentalism and your self-righteousness make you feel superior to others? Is that the road that you're walking on? Is that your life, the traces that you left and are leaving? You see, the real slave master of the human race is death. Is the real slave master of humanity. We are all subject to it. And leaders and tyrants and powerful people have borrowed power from death to boost their rule. They are threatened with death. They have done it for thousands of years and do it today. And sometimes in very subtle forms. Oh, I'll destroy. I'll get you down. I will just put you in place. It has so many forms. But there is victory over death. Have you heard that? There's victory over death. That, what they think is the most powerful weapon, was destroyed by Jesus coming out of the grave and back to life. With sin, we rebelled against God, conspired to put him to the cross and deface God's creation. We thought he's defeated, but God has led his people out of slavery again and into a new kind of life, a life without death. Is your life making this kind of road? Does your path lead to life? Is it the kind of life that Jesus introduced? Is it the life of grace, of forgiveness, of mercy, of love? Is it the kind of life that washes the feet of enemies? Is it the kind of life that points to hope, to second chances, to new beginnings, while truly counting on Jesus being present at all times? Is this the kind of life that leads to hope, joy, peace, love? Which road are you making? Would it be time to turn around and leave the one road behind and join with Jesus on the road that he has been paving for 2,000 years? And where he invites you to join him on this road. It might have been that he joined you first. It might have been that he joined you while you were on that wrong road of despair and hopelessness and death. And then he opened your mind. And you understood, wow. And then he says, come join me. Come join me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. Join me. Take upon you my yoke. Learn from me. Because there is life to be found when you follow me. You make the road by walking. Jesus may be walking this road with you, and you might not even know it right now. But he will change your life. And if you understand that he is there and close by, why don't you just invite him in? Invite him into your house. Invite him into your life. And let him change your thinking. Let him change your life. Let him change the direction of your life. And I'm not promising he will figure everything out for you. No, it is about you getting a new perspective on life. Why you are here and where you're going. Make the road by walking with him. Will you do that? Let's pray. Jesus, we have come so far. We have lived our life to this very moment. And where we are at this moment is by some extent also part of the decisions that we made. How we responded to circumstances. How we responded to obstacles. And that may have made us bitter, frustrated, angry. And we have been through hard times. We may have been through hard, hard, challenging situations. And we have responded somehow. We have made the road we were walking. But maybe there are moments when you were joining us and we didn't even recognize. You were coming along on our journey through somebody who just came alongside and just shared with us some good news. It may have been a book that we read. It may have been even the Bible that we opened up and there was something that spoke to us. Didn't recognize it. Thank you, Jesus, that you bear with us as we vent. As we vent all of our anger and our frustrations, our hopelessness. You are not turning away from us. You listen. And then you open our eyes for the things that you wanted to tell us. The new perspective. The new life that has broken into this world. That there is life after life. That life will never be the same. That I can enter into a life right now that will never end in death. But I will be with you. Oh God, what a change. So I pray that as we figure this out with our own journey, God, that you will not leave us alone, but that your Spirit will come, that you journey with us. And as we may journey on that road already, that you will affirm our journey with you, that you will affirm to us that we are your friends, that you love us, that you care for us, and that we could become more and more like you as we enter into the road. Thank you that you know what this coming week is bringing. Thank you that you know the decisions that we might be making. Let it be those that honor you and reflect the path of life. Thank you again for your invitation this morning. Thank you that you will walk with. We pray all this in your precious. Let's join one more time.